We are fortunate to have the Honorable Lou Rivera, former Chief Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court, sitting with the division today. We have two cases on the 130 docket and one case on the 230 docket. Our counsel here and ready to go for the two cases on the 130 docket. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we'll proceed in the order in which they're shown on the docket. The first case being Cross versus Christensen, and the second case will be Silver versus Colorado Casualty. We may or may not take a break before the 2:30 docket. We'll see how it goes. Before we get started, I assume counsel are familiar with the procedures, but I'll just go over a few of those briefly. Each side has 15 minutes for argument. The appellant may attempt to reserve some time, assuming questioning permits, for rebuttal. If there are any cell phones, if anybody has a cell phone or anything like that that might make some noise during the argument, I'd ask that you please turn that off now so that we don't get interrupted during the argument. We have all read the briefs. At least one of us has been through the record in the case. Therefore, we would recommend to counsel that you go right to the legal arguments, since 15 minutes will fly by pretty quickly. But again, the time is yours to do with what you wish. And with that, we're ready to start with the first case, Cross versus Christensen.
Good afternoon.
Gary Lindsay on behalf of the plaintiffs and appellants Mitch and Sabrina Cross. My registration number is 22318. As the record will reflect, I did not ask for oral argument in this matter. I believed and continue to believe, and having reread everything this morning, even more strongly believe that the facts, the law, was adequately and sufficiently briefed by both sides. That said, that might lead you to believe that I will be brief here. I will try to be brief, but at the same time, I have to confess I am alarmed at what's happened in this case. I am disappointed in what the trial court decision was. And I'm passionate about my client's interests, so I do welcome the opportunity to discuss and orally argue the matters that are briefed. I think it's important as a first note to look at what this case is not about, never was about. It is not about my clients, the Crosses, trying to prevent the Christensens from gaining access to their property. As the plat will show, the Christensens have access to their property from the county road 119 through their property all the way out here back to the Neal and the Jensen properties. It's not about my clients trying to prevent the Christensens from making use of the access road shown on the plat. It is not about my clients trying to prevent the Christensens from making use of the reciprocal access road agreement. That's Alkali Gulch Road. They, quite the contrary. The point of this case has always been.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's going to come up a fair amount, I think. Tell me where exactly Alkali Gulch Road is, if you would. It's not on the plat. Is it the east-west oil field road, or where is it?
I can tell you what I know it to be, which may be different than what the other side believes it is. The words Alkali Gulch Road are found in the reciprocal access road agreement. They are not found on the plat. They are not found in the deed history up to the point that's in controversy right now. The Alkali Gulch Road, as I understand it, as Attorney Emmett described it in his affidavit, begins here, follows along this east-west line, and terminates, I think it even goes further than this. But it's in essence the east-west road, the one that's described as an access road on the survey.
Now, does it go to the east of the oil, the north-south oil field road?
Considerably.
All right, so it's that entire east-west road that would be, I guess from your view, the east-west oil field road plus the access road. That's all Alkali Gulch Road from your understanding?
Yes and no. I don't believe there is such a thing as the access road. There is nothing in the legal recorded history that ever, there's no deed that ever references any animal known as access road. I saw the court came up with something they thought was an access road or called access road. That's created out of whole cloth. There was never, there's never a deed here that refers to access road. There's two access routes, if you
well,
want.
Well, it's not created out of whole cloth. It's labeled access road on the plat.
It is, but it's out of whole cloth in the sense that a plat, as I understand it, a plat depicts something. To turn a plat into an easement requires that there be a deed out with reference to the plat. Otherwise, this is commonly held, so we can't create an easement in our own property. So there is no deed out.
Cannot a developer, when the developer's first doing the subdivisions and selling out, create easements by way of a plat?
They can dedicate easements. I think the dedication, if there was dedication on here, I think the dedication, yes. You can create an easement by plat, I'm convinced, by dedication. If I have a piece of property, I put a road on it, I dedicate it to the public, that's done. Once I record it, that becomes a record and it's done. If I just do what's done here and depict it, then I need to deed it out. Right? When I deed it out by reference to the plat, it creates an easement. If you like an easement by plat, an easement by deed. Okay? But never do we have a road identified as access road. We have two roads, trail road here, oil field road here. That's all we have. Okay? This road down here is the one that's an issue. What the court did, and let me back up to the Alkali Gulch Road. There, my client's property is on Alkali Gulch Road. The Christensen property is on Alkali Gulch Road. There are other properties out here. The Jensen property right here is at 1500 Alkali Gulch Road, 1500, which means it obviously is numbered along this east-west road. There is the, let me double check my notes. I know there's another property, the Anderson property is at 550. That's lot 13. The Anderson property is at 550 Alkali Gulch Road. The Neal, Mr. Neal, who signed the reciprocal access agreement, his property is not done by reference to Alkali Gulch Road. It's out here. It is accessed by Alkali Gulch Road. That's why, that's what's the point of the reciprocal access agreement.
So you would say there's no, there are no home, if we want to call, I guess you talk about it, the Track 9 oil field road, you call it, or the North-South oil field road. There are no Alkali Gulch Road addresses on that North-South oil field road, is that right?
That is correct.
And I don't mean to interrupt you too much here, Mr. Lindsay, but was there any evidence presented in summary judgment or anywhere in the trial court about what Alkali Gulch Road is? As I recall, the trial court's finding was, you know, the parties said they're the same as oil field road, and I, without any other evidence, I have to assume that's true. So is there any evidence presented to indicate exactly what Alkali Gulch Road was or is?
The language of the reciprocal access agreement, I think, is helpful in that regard. The addresses, I think, are helpful in that regard, and the courts were provided with the addresses, including the Jensen property at 1500 Alkali Gulch Road. There's also GIS maps that are part of the record that label Alkali Gulch Road, including out in this neck of the woods beyond the property that's an issue, continue to label this as Alkali Gulch Road. So that is part of the record as well, these GIS survey maps that the La Plata County Assessor has. And so the issue is,
Mr. Lindsay, I'm sorry to interrupt now, but
no,
we're trying to clarify some things because, frankly, the plat itself is not terribly clear, and neither are a lot of the documents in the record that you just referred to. Prior to the access agreement, the reciprocal access agreement, what was the legal access to lots 7 and 8? Prior to that agreement being entered into, what was it?
To lots 7 and 8, and,
yeah.
And again, I presume you are looking at the northern half, because although it says in the paperwork repeatedly that Mr. Christians owns lots 7 and 8, they only own the northern half of lots 7 and 8.
Yes, the Christiansen's access. What was their legal access prior to the reciprocal access agreement?
It was oil field access.
And where do you get that from?
I get that from the fact that there is a series of deeds, both before and after the Christiansen property, including one from Mr. Demick himself as to lots 13 and 14. And he deeds out access along, it's an installment land contract, but he references oil field road. obviously, you can't get to lots 13 and 14 along Oilfield Road if it stops here.
Mr. Lindsay, let me pick up on that. In 1981, as I understand the record, the Dimmitt Group deeded Track 9 to across his predecessor. Subject, and the deed said, quote, subject to easement shown on said plat, and together with non-exclusive access along Trail Road to County Road number 119. Now, later on in 1984, the Dimmitt Group sold Track 7 and 8 to Christensen's predecessor.
Correct.
And in that deed, they stated as follows, together with a non-exclusive access easement along Oilfield Road to La Plata County Road number 19, said Oilfield Road as shown on said plat. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Lindsay, doesn't your position in this case boil down to despite the fact that the road we're all arguing about is labeled Oilfield Road, it's not really Oilfield Road? Isn't that what your case is about?
It is not the Oilfield Road, and we know that because the court found Oilfield Road and Alkali Gulch Road are one and the same. What the Christensens want is they want to have the special right to use this road separate and apart from the rights that all of the other Demick survey plat holders have with identical language.
But
there are five other deeds with identical language.
Why do you call it a special right? That road doesn't go to the other landowner's property. It only goes to the Christensen's property.
It does go. Oilfield Road.
It's labeled Oilfield Road in the south.
That's right. But these deeds up here say together with Oilfield Road. If, as the court found, Oilfield Road is here and stops here, but together with Oilfield Road is rendered meaningless. We can't have a deed whose interpretation is inconsistent with other deeds from the same grantor using the identical language or which renders the deeds meaningless.
Why would it render anything meaningless to say it's all Oilfield Road? Because it's labeled like that.
That this is Oilfield Road and this is Oilfield Road?
Sure. What's wrong with that?
It's
labeled that way, so what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it, Your Honor, is that it is inconsistent with the court's own findings that Alkali Gulch Road and Oilfield Road are one and the same. It is inconsistent, and the court can look at the GIS map. This is a used road. Nobody uses that road. It was a pre-existing road. The briefs on file reflect that it was a pre-existing road. It was a road when Dimmitt got this. It was an oil field road used by oil field people. It was never intended. We got to go back to the intent of the grantor. The intent of the grantor is here. This is the access route, right here. The intent of the parties. Your Honor, this property down here, the second half of 7-8, is owned by Mr. and Mrs. Wetzel. Okay? They didn't sign the reciprocal access agreement. This oil field, this well is on their property. There's a line right here. It's on their property. If this was intended to be a road, the Wetzels would have signed it. They never did.
Well, that sounds pretty speculative.
It's not an access road.
We're not concerned with the Wetzels' rights here. They're not before the court. I mean, that's all pretty speculative and sounds outside the record. I'm just trying to figure out why a plat that says Oilfield Road is supposed to be regarded as meaning not Oilfield Road. I mean, that seems to be your argument, and I'm having a hard time getting my head around that.
My argument, Your Honor, is that to figure out what it means, we need to look at, if this was a unique document, if this deed was standing alone, I wouldn't be here. The deed history for lots 7 and 8. If the deed from Dimmitt to Mayhew and Mayhew to Christensen, if that was a standalone transaction, I would not be here. This action would not have been filed. It's not. This language about together with an oil field road, to figure it out what it means, we get the opportunity to look at other deeds way out here. And again, remember, the court's interpretation ends here, Judge, ends here.
But Mr. Lindsay, what happens in those other deeds is outside the chain of title for these parties. So how can the property owner who buys the property and gets a deed saying Oilfield Road be expected to know about something that's in a deed that's outside their chain of title?
Well, that's the problem my client's got, Your Honor. My client took his property prior to this conveyance to Mr. Mayhew. So my client doesn't have anything in his title insurance policy that says, hey, it's subject to this, because it already been deeded out. And when we talk to the title insurance carrier, they say, oh, this is post-policy. The court made up this road. We're not covering you, Mr. Christensen, because it's post-policy. The court created this road after you got title. Court cannot create this as an access road. Yes, it's labeled Oilfield Road. There are hundreds, probably, I'd venture, my client is in the oil field business, 500 oil field roads throughout La Platte County. They're not access roads. This access road is defined by the grantor. It's defined by the person that recorded the plat, Mr. Dimmock. At least when he signed the deed to 13 and 14 and used the identical language, together with an oil field road, it's this road here. And it always says the. That's part of the reason that it's always the oil field road. The reciprocal access agreement refers to the oil field road.
Mr. Lindsay, have
to look at all of those words.
In the deed that's actually in the chain of title that we're talking about here, as Justice Rivera pointed out, it says subject to easements shown on said plat, that document right there. So how is somebody looking at the chain of title and looking at that plat supposed to know that one of those roads is an easement and the other one isn't? How are they supposed to know that?
And that's referenced from my client's point of view or from
anybody,
Mr. Christensen's point
from,
of view?
If you're in the chain of title and you get a deed that says subject to the easements on the plat, and you go look at the plat, there's nothing in the plat that differentiates between those roads.
Oh, no. My client knows that his property is subject to this oil field road. Absolutely. We're not saying it's not. It's subject to an oil field road. It's not subject to an access road. And how does the Christensen know? He just has to look at his address. The address of his property is Alkali Gulch Road. It's not this road down here. And when he drives here, my client is talking to realtors as they're trying to sell this, saying, this isn't a road. You can't go down here. He knew it before he bought it.
Mr. Lindsay, I know your time is up, but I have a question about something you just said that I didn't understand. Is it your position that the Christensens have a right to use that north-south road if they used it for, you know, oil drilling or energy related?
I don't know, because I don't know who created it. We all know, we've all said in our briefs that it was created before this plat.
You just said that you understand that your clients understand that that road, that they have, there's an easement on that north-south road.
For somebody, or, yes.
Okay.
But I don't think it's for the Christensens, no. I think it was pre-existing. We've all stipulated it was pre-existing. This road down here was pre-existing. It was obviously done as a wellhead here. It was done to get access to a wellhead. Whoever is servicing that wellhead certainly has a right to use that road. Mr. Christensen isn't in the oil business. Mr. Christensen is not servicing this wellhead. So, yes, my client well understood that somebody probably had a right to make use of this road to get to this wellhead to service it.
And your client, now is it by prescription or an express easement, or do you not know?
We don't know. It was, we know it's prior to 1975, but I couldn't find anything on it. I didn't see Christensen's counsel finding anything on it. We just recognized that it was there to begin with.
Thank you, Mr. Lindsay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Christopher Brophy, and I, along with my co-counsel, Christian Agler, represent the appellees Ryan and Terry Christensen. Your Honors, stripped of all the rhetoric and self-serving testimony by Mr. Lindsay, this case really boils down to a single question before the Court, and that is, did the trial court correctly find that the Christensens own an easement for ingress and egress to their property along Oilfield Road?
Mr. Brophy, I have to stop you because I can't resist the way you started. I'm just going to tell you, I don't really appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it in your briefs either. The comment, there's no reason for the personal attack on your opponent. I don't think his argument is crazy on summary judgment, and I didn't hear his argument as self-serving any more than yours is self-serving. So let's take the high road and stick to the facts.
Your Honor, I would agree, with the exception that I need to point out that a lot of what we're hearing and a lot of what has been in the briefs and a lot of what has been argued here today was not before the trial court when it ruled on summary judgment, is not supported by documents in the record, is not supported by basically any legal theories. And so it's important, and I certainly understand that I'm not trying to be condescending or rude, but I also feel it's important that we point out what it is that is before both the trial court in its ruling on summary judgment and before this court as established by the record and by the relevant documents. And that is where I intend to focus my argument here today. Your Honor, as we've discussed, the Dimmick plat establishes that there's an easement along Oilfield Road, including that portion of Oilfield Road that traverses across Track 9, which is the Cross's property.
All right, Mr. Brophy, let's just go start right there.
Okay.
Because that's really the point of contention, is what is Oilfield Road? And it does seem a little odd that you have a road that goes from east-west, Oilfield Road, continues on east-west, but then apparently has a branch off north-south. And so that does appear a little bit odd, leading to possibly the inference there might be two Oilfield Roads, as argued by your opponent. Why isn't that the case?
Your Honor, that isn't the case. The fact that it makes a sharp turn to the left, if you're traveling to west on the road, isn't any more unique than the fact that a little bit further on, this road also makes a sharp turn to the left. That's not a distinguishing feature that breaks it into two separate roads. Rather, what we see when the plat was recorded, they identified the center line of Oilfield Road, and they also added this tag that says Oilfield Road. They left out the center line mark, indicating that they've already identified the center line mark, and this is where it comes along. I think what we can understand from the fact that this road remains unnamed is that this road simply didn't have an identifier at the time that this plat was recorded. On the other hand, Oilfield Road did have an identifier, and that identifier was labeled on the plat, signed off on by the Dimmick Group, authorized by the surveyor. That's what tells us that when they recorded this, this is what they were considering Oilfield Road. It wasn't until much later that we find out that there's this concept of this road called Alkali Gulch Road. You can see, for example, in the deed conveying the property from Mr. Mayhew to the Christensens, in the also known address, giving the common address, there's a to-be-determined Alkali Gulch Road. That's about the time that this concept of an Alkali Gulch Road first got discussed.
This, Mr. Brophy, isn't basically the, or is it, clarify for me, the access road and the oil field road all the same road?
Not necessarily, Your Honor.
But it has a different name in different sections.
To the extent that you can get from point A to point B,
say that again.
To the extent that you can get from point A to point B along a single traverse here, yes. It's fair to say, yeah, that is
a
road.
And part of the Oilfield Road runs east and west, but also part of it a little bit runs sort of north and south. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Mr. Brophy, is there anything in the record that explains, I mean, I understand that your clients have access to their property from what's labeled on the plat as Access Road, okay? Is there anything in the record, and I want to stick to the record, that explains why we're even talking about all of this if they have access from the Access Road? Is there some physical impediment? What's in the record?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. In the record, as exhibits to our summary judgment, are affidavits from Ryan Christensen and also from Timothy Mayhew, who was their predecessor in interest, that describes the physical characteristics of these two tracts. And here's the situation that we're looking at. When tracks 7 and 8 were conveyed out from the Dimmick Group to Timothy Mayhew, who was the Christensen's predecessor in interest, he did not convey out this entire tract. He conveyed out this half of 7 and 8 and retained the lower 37 acres of 7 and 8, which means that the Christensen property and the Mayhew property is basically from a line about here up to about here. The affidavits will indicate that on track 7 and 8, at approximately this area, there's a creek and an incised cliff, rather substantial. Mr. Aguilar has been out there. There is no practical way to get from here to here along these tracks. It's undisputed. It hasn't been an issue. It's simply a fact that's in the record supported by these affidavits. What this means, then, is that when this upper half was conveyed out from the Dimmick Group to Mr. Mayhew, they realized that the only use this land could have, were it not for access along this Oilfield Road, would be this tiny little piece on the left-hand side of the northwest side of that incised creek. And this is simply a little tiny scrub land, very few acres.
That's why access along this road becomes crucial for the use and value of this property. Mr. Mayhew then used this road to construct improvements on 7 and 8 up in this area, yurt and an art studio and I believe a sweat lodge, all of which is in his affidavit when he talks about the use that he was making of this oil field road access. It explains for us why, when the Dimmitt Group conveyed out this property to Mr. Christensen, they very specifically said, together with an access easement along Oil Field Road.
Oil Field Road is clearly identified on the plat. The Dimmitt Group is the one who had the plat made up. They understand what they were talking about. We can see that we've got Oil Field Road with the arrow, Oil Field Road with the arrow. There's simply no reason to ignore that and say, oh, no, that can't possibly be what they were talking about.
Well, Mr. Brophy, let me ask you, obviously we're talking about summary judgment here.
Yes.
Why don't we, would you agree first that Alkali Gulch Road covers the portion of Oil Field Road, the east-west portion you show on the chart you've got up, as well as the portion of the road that was called Access Road on the plat? Is that settled or no?
We don't know because there was no evidence introduced at the trial court to establish that, and that's what the court found in its order. It had to take that reciprocal road access agreement at face value, where it equated Oil Field Road, also known as Alkali Gulch Road. As a practical matter, I think what's happened here, and again, this is more along the line of speculation, but it provides an explanation to sort of clarify these issues,
and that is at some point down the road, people realized that they were using this Oil Field Road, they were using this that had no name. It would make sense if 14, 15, 13 were all referred to this as Oil Field Road because there's no sign telling them it's anything else. They've suddenly come to the conclusion that, no, that's not all Oil Field Road. This is Oil Field Road. They came up with this Alkali Gulch Road. Now, to a certain extent, Alkali Gulch Road is also known as Oil Field Road because it shares this east-west portion with Oil Field Road.
Were there affidavits from any of the landowners to the west? So this part that used to be called Access Road, were there affidavits hypothetically that said, you know, I'm John and Jane Smith, and I live at 1600 Alkali Gulch Road, and their home happens to be to the west?
Mm-hmm.
Were there affidavits in the record about that?
There were not affidavits in the record before the trial court at the time it ruled a summary judgment. Subsequent, Mr. Lindsay filed either a motion for reconsideration or a motion to modify an injunction, and attached an affidavit from Mr. Anderson, who owns track 13. The affidavit doesn't really tell us a whole lot other than for 13 or 15 years I've owned this property, I've accessed my property via Oil Field Road. If I can't access my property via Oil Field Road, I can't access my property, which isn't really correct. Again, there's nothing here that's destroying any of these roads or destroying any of this access. If Oil Field Road goes from here to here, which we believe it does, these people back here will use this portion of Oil Field Road consistent with reciprocal road access agreement, and they'll use this portion, whether it's called Alkali Gulch Road or referred to as an access road or called whatever it is. The fact that this is Oil Field Road doesn't extinguish their ability to traverse along this road to reach these properties back here.
So if I understand in your position about what's in the record, I think your argument is Oil Field Road here is the east-west portion that kind of terminates or turns strongly south at that other, what your opponent calls the Track 9 Oil Field Road, correct?
That's correct.
So it's essentially this kind of V-shaped, and that's Oil Field Road, right? Do I understand?
That's correct.
Okay. Was there any, and I think your position is that we have to assume, based on what's in the record, that Alkali Gulch Road is the same as the Oil Field Road as we just defined it, or you just defined it, because there's nothing contrary in the record.
There's nothing contrary in the record. The language used in the reciprocal road access agreement and reflected in the court's order doesn't say the same as or identical. It says also known as. It's a little bit softer than same as.
So is there any evidence to support the court's conclusion that north-south Oil Field Road, or part of it from your view, was called Alkali Gulch Road?
There's no evidence to support that conclusion. Unfortunately, there's also no evidence to refute that conclusion. We're left with the language of the reciprocal road access agreement. But it brings up an important point, and that is when we moved for summary judgment in the trial court, what the trial court ruled on, we moved on three separate bases. The first was the easement and the change of title coming off the easement, referring to the easement, established that the Christensens own an access agreement across here. That stands alone. That is sufficient enough to support the conclusion of the trial court. In addition, and separate, we also have this reciprocal road access agreement. where we have this discussion of Alkali Gulch Road. It's the only time that Alkali Gulch Road comes up, where it uses the also known as, and it indicates that there is something else necessarily going on here because we have this new term introduced. But even if the trial court is incorrect, and this is actually Alkali Gulch Road, and this part isn't Alkali Gulch Road, we're still left with what the plat and the deeds and the change of title of the relevant parties coming out establish.
Well, may I ask a question here? There's the plat, the deeds, and what is known as the reciprocal access road agreement. But basically, the reciprocal, as I understand it, the reciprocal access road agreement does not add or subtract from your position. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
Thank you. And so therefore, as I understand the court's order, the court really relied upon the plat and deeds to make its determination in this motion for summary judgment. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And by its words, the trial court said, and this really clarifies the distinction, I believe, the easement was created by the Dimmick plat and confirmed by the reciprocal access agreement.
Okay.
Confirmed is the key point. And in indicative, what the trial court discussed was what we've already covered. There was no evidence to tell us, oh, no, this couldn't possibly be Alkali Gulch Road. Even if there were, what the court's ruling holds is that separate and apart from this access agreement, the plat and the deeds and the chains of title are what create this easement and entitle my clients.
So my understanding, confirm this or disagree with it, that the words Alkali Road really refer to the oil field road. Is that correct?
Certainly over the east-west part.
Yes.
We don't know. There's nothing in the record to tell us. I certainly don't know what actually is Alkali Gulch Road. My belief is it is a term that has come to mean this road here plus this east-west portion of oil field road.
The words Alkali Road do not appear, as I understand it, in the plat.
No, sir.
And they don't appear in the deeds.
No, sir.
Correct. And they don't appear in the reciprocal access road agreement.
They do appear in the reciprocal road access agreement. Thank that you. Is where we have Oilfield Road, also known as Alkali Gulch Road.
Thank you.
Was there any, Mr. Brophy, anything in the record to indicate what, when they did the reciprocal access road agreement, it says wishing to clarify their right to access. Was there anything in the record to indicate, was there a dispute among the parties or some lack of clarity that required clarification?
Nothing in the record whatsoever, Your Honor. In the understanding from Mr. Mayhew, and Mr. Mayhew put, I believe, some of this testimony into his affidavit that is an exhibit to our motion for summary judgment, that when he entered into this agreement, it was with the understanding that he was clarifying access along Oilfield Road all the way, including this portion here, in addition to the east-west portion here. It's important, as we discussed, nothing in that agreement destroys anything that's pre-existing. And the plat clearly makes this oil field road access easement pre-existing. But there would be no incentive whatsoever for Mr. Mayhew to enter into an agreement if we were to assume that it somehow changed the nature here that would cut off his access to all the improvements that he had put in and on this road that he had been using for, I believe, in excess of 20 years. And to interpret that reciprocal access road agreement as destroying this easement in some way is exactly the result that we would end up with.
Let me interrupt you, Mr. Brophy. That reciprocal access agreement was entered into by 7 or 8 or 9 other property owners in that area. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Let me ask you too, Mr. Brophy. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. What document clearly creates this easement along the north-south portion of Oilfield Road? I mean, if we look at the deed to the Mayhews, it talks about access easement along Oilfield Road to the County Road 119. Obviously, the north-south part, if there were two Oilfield Roads, that north-south part does not go to 119. I don't understand your position. It's the whole thing.
Sure.
Are you saying that's what created the easement? Where was this easement along the north-south part created?
I think to answer that question, we need to go back to the Allen Nickerson case. That tells us that when the Dimmick Group put this plat together and they showed these easements along here, okay, that created the easement. When they then conveyed those parcels out, the easements arose. In the case of Track 9, they reserved this easement. In the case of Track 7 and 8, they conveyed that easement. They very specifically said, together with access along Oilfield Road as shown on the plat. It's the same language that was used for the Crosses parcel
together with access along Trail Road, as shown on the plat. There's no distinction between the access on Trail Road and this access on Oilfield Road. I think it's those two acts, the creation and recording of this plat, creating these easements, the conveyance of the parcels, referencing and subjecting these parcels to those easements, those two together are the acts and the documents that create these this easement.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brophy.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We want to thank counsel for your arguments today. It really helped clarify for us what is going on here. The court does have a request, and if either party objects, we won't go through with it, but we would like to have those blow-ups that you have on the easel there because the documents are very difficult to read. But like I said, if either party objects, we will not take them.
We have no objection, Your Honor, without the evidence.
I think that's fine.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Your Honor, what conflict is
you can just leave them there, and the bailiff will get them while we do the switch over to the next argument. All right. With that, the case will stand submitted.